All right. So let me ask you a simple question this afternoon. Maybe simple, maybe not simple. So is it easy or hard to live as a Christian? What do you think, Jerry? Is it easy or hard?
It's not easy, but it's simple.
Mm-hmm.
In that, that's what we're told to do is like very straightforward, but it's not easy to live up to that mission always.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Jerry. Okay. So, how about your mom? So, Lori, is it easy or hard to live as a Christian?
Well, there are times that we find it hard, especially when we are among other people who are not Christians.
Yeah.
That's the challenge, mainly. But living as a Christian, for me, it's not hard if you stick to yourself and who you are in Jesus Christ, but it becomes harder when you are with other people who are not Christians.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Lori. That's really, really good point. And Beb?
Very much the same as Lori. I mean, here in Australia, we're more fortunate than some places.
Yes.
But it's like, as Lori said, and sometimes when you're with people who maybe want to put down the fact that you're part of Christian, that could be a challenge.
Exactly,
but,
yeah.
I don't find it overly hard.
Yeah. Sometimes hard, but I think sometimes just inconvenient that hard. Yeah. All right, so Mickey. So you maybe you have some really bit different view. So how about you?
Well, for me, Christian living is not easy or hard in a sense. More like it's a journey. Like sometimes there are hard moments, sometimes there are easier moments. And remembering God is a journey in itself. Making sure that he's in our lives. So yeah, I don't see it as easy or hard. And everyone has their own
rules
and way of things.
Okay. Alright. So I think you're from Indonesia, right? So how about the people in Indonesia, Indonesian Christians? What do you think? Is it easy or hard?
I guess in one way it could be hard because it's mostly there are lots of it's a Muslim majority nation. But at the same time, it is protected by law. There are discrimination in a sense. And so it could be hard in that sense. So I think, you know, there's always difficulties in living the Christian life in either countries, Australia, Indonesia, or any other countries. That's what I think.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for your view. And so, Hee-jong, how about you? Okay, a little bit.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Sometimes, yes. It's hard, yeah, okay.
Why am I asking you? Sometimes I don't know which way is the way that God given us the journey. I don't know which way is the Christian, the right way for living. I cannot make a decision whether it's a right or wrong. In that case, it's a bit hard.
Okay.
Yeah,
follow in the way of Christianity. All right. So I have one more question for you.
What?
So is it easy or hard to live as a minister's wife?
Stress, it is quite good.
Okay. Please convince me in the house. Wow, yes. So while I was preparing this sermon, I was reflecting by myself about me. Is it easy or hard to live as a Christian. And Minister Son, my father is a minister of a Korean Methodist Church, and now I'm minister too. So maybe I think live as a Christian, I think it's good. I never thought it's hard because I was born as a minister's son, Christian family. So that's all of my life. Sometimes maybe inconvenient, but I don't think it's hard. But if you ask me, Pastor Mike, is it easy or hard to live as a minister? It's a little bit different level. So yeah, sometimes I feel a little bit difficult to live as a minister because I should be generous, more generous than others. Sometimes, yeah, I just reminded of some movie, funny movie. So at the time, in the movie, a pastor, he was driving and someone hit his back, his car. Actually, the minister, while he was driving, he was listening to the really holy gospel music. He following the singing, oh my God, it's a lovely God. And after the accident, he take off this one and then cut off the music and get out and fought with the person who hit him. So yes, it's funny, just a comedy, but I understand him. Sometimes I'd like to not fight, but I'd like to do something for myself. But sometimes I have to say, it's okay, yeah, you can go. So, and then one, and also another example is if I call some roof man or some another man to fix my roof, I know they don't know who I am, but you know, is when I got their quotation, I little bit difficult hard to say some police discount or something like that. Because I'm minister, how can I cut the price? So in this time, I ask my wife, you can do that. You can do that. So always my wife got really good quotation from them, and squeezes them, and then finally got really good results. Yeah. So yeah, it's sometimes, yeah, I feel a bit difficult to live as a minister. But Christian is good. So think about it honestly, being a Christian, yes, is a wonderful thing. We have hope, we have a purpose, we have God's love, right? But let's be real, following Jesus also means giving some things up. It means living differently from the people around us. It means seeing the world through a different set of eyes. And perhaps the biggest difference of all is this, how we face hard times. When life gets tough, how do we respond? That, I believe, is where being a Christian really shows. In 1 Peter 4, Peter writes to Christians who are going through real suffering, like persecution. And his message might surprise you. He doesn't say, I'm sorry you're struggling. He doesn't say, try to avoid the pain. He says, rejoice. He says, rejoice. 1 Peter 4, 12 to 13. He says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice in as much as you participate in the suffering of Christ. Peter is saying, if you are suffering because you belong to Jesus, that is actually a blessing. You are sharing in what Christ himself went through. The Don't be shocked by it. Don't run from it. Just be glad. But Peter is also very clear about one thing. He draws a firm line. He says, don't suffer because you did something wrong. Don't suffer because you hurt someone or stole something or acted badly. That kind of suffering is on you. Absolutely, that's the outcome of what we did. But suffering because you are a Christian, that is something completely different. Rejoice in that. Then in chapter 5, Peter gives us two more powerful instructions. First, humble yourself before God. Don't try to carry everything on your own. And second, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. God is not far away while you are struggling. He sees you. He cares for you. So give him your worries, all of them. And finally, Peter reminds us this suffering is not forever. It is only for a little while and through it. God will make you stronger, firmer, and more secure in Christ, Peter said. Now let's turn to John 17, where we find Jesus praying, not for himself, but for us. Jesus already knew what was coming. He knew that after he returned to the Father, his followers and disciples would be left in a difficult world. So he prayed for them. He prayed for us. And what did he ask for? That they may be one. Out of everything Jesus could have prayed, he prayed for unity. He prayed that his people would be together. I don't think that is a coincidence. And here is what I believe with all my heart. The way we grow stronger through suffering is by being united. We were never meant to face times alone. When we come together as a community, when we encourage each other, pray for each other, comfort each other, and worship together, something powerful happens. We find joy even in the middle of pain. We find strength we didn't know we had. This is one of the reasons we gather every Sunday, not just of our habit, but because we need each other. Actually, I'm not good at some technology. Even I'm younger generation, but I'm not good at technology. So I need Harrison. Harrison, he made PowerPoint and he prepared some music. And also, Sweet, she's a pianist. So I don't play piano well, but she do. She does. So she leads our music, and also Ina and Jerry, they join our singing. And Beb, what are you good at? Beb, I think Beb is really good some business administrator. So she's I think it looks professional. She's so good. And what she had done for our church, she still has done, but it's really big portion of our church ministry. And also Lori, what are you good at?
I don't know.
Please tell. <that? laughs>
I'm in leadership.
Leadership, so that's
for,
right,
for
exactly.
For quite a few years.
That's right. She's a strong woman and independent woman. She's absolutely the right position at the chairperson of our church council. And Matty, what are you good at?
It's nothing.
Not nothing. He cares our property, right? And yeah. Also in this, some vegetables and something, all is, you made it. So I'm really not good there about some vegetable or farming, something like that. I'm not good at. I'm from farming area, but I'm not good at. But you're really good. So we need each other. We need each other. Horson, Lori, Beb, Matty, Sweet, and Anita, Wahijong, George, Jerry, Ina. Everyone, we need each other. So during my study leave in last two weeks, I learned about the history of Christianity in Japan. For 250 years, Japanese Christians were persecuted violently and relentlessly by their own government. And yet, when Western missionaries arrived centuries later again, they found Christians who had been secretly keeping their faith alive all the time, hidden, but not broken. So at that time, the Western missionaries were really surprised, because the last 200 years, nobody allowed to enter into the Japan. For the last 200 years, they still kept their faith, even in the persecution. What made them to keep their faith? Because they have a hope. They knew this suffering is for a while, it's not forever. They waited for 200 years, a really long time, but they kept their faith for the long time. And I also remember visiting a church once at Sindar, arriving just as a Chinese congregation who rented the space in the afternoon, was finishing their service. The pastor, Chinese pastor, had called some families to the front. They were going back to China that week. Every congregation members gathered around them and prayed together. Those families wept because they knew back in China, they could not worship freely. They could face real persecution. As I stood there listening to their tearful prayers, my own heart broke with them. And in that moment, I was one with people whose names I didn't even know. I couldn't understand their language, but I felt their pain and also their hope. At that moment, we were united in Jesus Christ, even in different languages and different cultural background. Here in Australia, we are not persecuted for being Christians. But following Jesus still costs us something. We give financially even when the cost of living is high. We give our time to serve the church even when life is busy. We come to worship on Sunday afternoon even when sleeping sounds much better. And sometimes there is a quiet pressure to be more patient, more generous, to set a better example than everyone else. But even in these sacrifices, we can rejoice, because through our lives, people can see Jesus glorified. As a church minister, I often hear words like these: "Pastor, we are tired. There is so much going on in the church, and we are worn out." I hear you, and I understand completely. But here is what I want you to know. God sees every bit of it, and He is not indifferent to it. Jesus prayed for His disciples, and also even us. And He prayed for us in this world, living in this world too. Those of us living in this world, following Him long after those first footsteps were taken. He knew that this life of faith is not easy. It can be tiring. It can be inconvenient. And still, He intercedes for you, who show up, who serve, who give, even when it costs you something. Jesus sees you serving even when you are exhausted. He sees the offering you give even when money is tight. He sees the time you carve out for Him even when your schedule is already full. You are not invisible for Him. To Him, you never were. Because of your faithfulness, your quiet, consistent, sometimes costly dedication, this church is still standing. This is a place where God is honored and His name is lifted high. So today, I want to say to each one of you, do not grow weary. What you are doing matters more than you know. Even the ministries you carry out in the church may not show immediate results, but they are surely bearing fruit. So rejoice. Rejoice because of God, because the God you serve sees you, loves you, and is pleased with you. So my heart's desire for our church is simple. Let us be one. Let us be a community where no one suffers alone, where we carry each other's burdens, speak words of encouragement, and pray for one another. Because we are not just a congregation. We are a family in Christ. We are a children of God. And as we stand together, through the small discomforts and the big storms, God will be glorified, and we will come out stronger on the other side. So rejoice. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you see us, you know us, and you care for us. Thank you that we don't have to carry our struggles alone. Lord, help us to rejoice even when things are hard, because we know you are with us and your plans for us are good. Make us one. Unite our hearts as your church family. May we encourage one another, pray for one another, and hold on to each other through every storm. Strengthen us, Lord, just as you promised, and through our life together, may your name be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.